We gather here today on the Lord's Day, the day that He has set aside for us to celebrate and worship Him. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship this Sabbath day.
To that
faith this week. The other collection that we're doing right now is for the Elon Reading Day. For the Elon students in our community and other college students, we want to provide a rest stop for them. You heard me mention that last week. But that date is Wednesday, May 12th. So if you have items that you would like to bring for that collection, we have a basket downstairs as well. We encourage you to bring those over the next 2 weeks. The items listed that are needed for both collections are listed on the back of your bulletin this morning, so you can just go there for quick reference if you're going to run to the grocery store to pick up some items this week. Last but not least, next Sunday, I just want to remind you about what our worship schedule will be just for next Sunday. If you got your newsletter, you saw at the very bottom of the newsletter the plan for the month of May and when our worship services are. When we're having outside worship services, when we're having inside worship services, when Sunday school is starting, all of those details are in your newsletter. But next Sunday, just as a reminder, we will be starting back with Sunday school at 9:45. So I encourage you to come out next Sunday at 9:45 for Sunday school, and that will be followed by an inside worship service at 11 a.m. We will not have an outside service next Sunday, but for the Sundays following that, we will. So make sure you check the newsletter, and I'll talk about one of these Sundays coming up in just a few moments. But it is good to be back, gathered together to study God's Word. I'm excited that Sunday school is starting back, and I'm excited for the opportunity to worship together in the sanctuary next Sunday. So join us for those times of worship. We are gathered here to worship and celebrate the risen Lord. We do that with our thoughts. We do that with our prayers. We do that by singing praise to God. So I encourage you to stand, and let's sing praise to God this morning.
As we were getting ready to sing outside today, and I look out, you can see how God's creation is so beautiful. The trees, the creek myrtles were budding out. The azaleas all around are in full bloom. The dogwoods are in full bloom. How can you not believe that God is real? So as we sing this, think about as you were driving the church, how beautiful God's creation is. Let's stand and let's worship together. How great is our God.
words we just proclaimed in that song, How Great Is Our God. Think about all the ways and all the opportunities we have during the week to lift praise to God and tell others how great He is. He has drawn us here to worship this day as we celebrate Him, as we celebrate His work, and celebrate how great He is. Let us read Psalm 121 this morning. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. He is invested in our lives. God is invested. The God that we just proclaimed is so great, cares about you, and He cares about me. Let us go to that God this morning, lifting up prayer to Him. Father God, maker of heaven and earth, you made magnificent mountains. You made vast and great seas. You even made the tiny worms, the bugs that crawl into the ground, and everything in between. You are our Creator. And then you made us. Father, we give you thanks for being one of your creation. You are amazing and powerful, yet you love each of us dearly. Thank you for guiding our lives each day and ruling all of creation throughout our lifetime. In the knowledge of your love and your power, we bring to you today our worship, this offering of praise to you. And Father, we hope that it is pleasing to you. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is Love Divine, O Love It Seven. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Going on. immediately following the worship service at 11 o'clock, around 11:15, we're going to transition to our prayer garden. Much work and much dedicated hard work and labor has gone into making the prayer garden a place of peace, a place of ministry, a place of reflection, and a place of memory. And we want to dedicate that space, our new prayer garden, to the Lord and Savior for future work and for future ministry. So we want you to come for worship at 10, then at 11:15, join us in the prayer garden for a time of dedication. And then, since we're going to already be here for so long that morning, we thought, well, we're baptized. Or if you haven't, it'll probably come in the next couple days in your mailbox, an envelope with a reservation card, a RSVP card. Our family team is working hard to providing the meal that day. We're going to have subs, we're going to have pasta salad, potato salad, fruit, drinks. Al is a part of a time of celebration and gathering, similar to what we did for homecoming this past year. But following that, as a part of that, we're still not done. That day we want to also hold a bake sale. And I know many in our church family are wonderful cooks, wonderful bakers, and we want you to participate in this because we want to use this as a fundraiser for our parking lot goal. We are nearing that goal. We are almost there. And that bake sale that we do a part on May 16th will go to help support that ministry. So if you're willing to provide an item, a baked item, a cake, a pie, cookies, brownies, Leslie Cordell is going to be in charge of it. She said it could be casseroles. If you make casseroles, you want to provide that. We encourage you to provide those. Contact the church or contact Leslie to let us know who is coming. Let us know who's bringing items. And we ask that you just price that in advance, so we don't have to worry about figuring out how much it costs to make the cake or all those details. But we want you to participate as a part in that bake sale by not just bringing items, but purchasing items as well. It will be a day of celebration. It will be a day of worship, and it will be a day of fellowship. And we look forward to that opportunity. So make sure you RSVP that you're coming in the next week or two. Buy that note card. If you don't get one of those, make sure you contact the church office, and we'll ensure that you get one shortly afterwards. But we look forward to that Sunday. Sunday, May 16th, as a day of celebration here at First Baptist Elon. Now, at this time, I want to call on Earlene Mann, who's going to come for our offertory prayer this morning.
Praise the Lord. I will thank the Lord with all my heart as I meet with his godly people. How amazing are the deeds of the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious and merciful Father, it is indeed good to be able to meet together with this congregation in your house again. Indeed, your works are amazing as we look about us at your beautiful creation, as we reflect on how you carry us when we're hurting, how you provide us with all the things that we need. So, Father, with joy and deep gratitude, we return to you in our offerings a portion of what you've blessed us with, that your work may be carried on in this church and community. Guide us in using these offerings wisely. May your name be glorified in all that we attempt in sharing your love. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
reflect on how God is going to speak to us today. Let's pray. Father, you have called us here today for a reason. May we open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to what you would have us hear this day. We look forward to being set apart, being made holy this day in your presence. We lift this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and our King. Amen. Again, I want to say good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Elon. Thank you for joining us for worship. We had a wonderful time of worship earlier this morning, and we've already had a wonderful time of combined worship today here in the sanctuary. And we look forward to seeing how God may be speaking to us this day. Over the last couple of weeks, in my sermon time, we've been journeying to mountaintops, literal mountaintops in biblical history, to identify characteristics of God that challenge us to stay excited following Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. As I said weeks ago, sometimes we have a letdown after Resurrection Sunday because our focus is so centered on that special day. But we're called to carry that through the entire year. So how do we do that? So 2 weeks ago, we journeyed to the top of Mount Ararat with Noah, and we saw that God remained faithful through a very strenuous and patient time that Noah and his family was going with. But God remained faithful. Last week, we traveled to the top of Mount Moriah with Abraham and Isaac and observed how God is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. This morning, we're going to journey to the top of Mount Sinai with Moses to reveal another characteristic that we can hold on to that can excite us throughout the year. But before we do that, before we travel to the top of that mountain, I want to travel to a little bit different place. We're going to travel to a town, a city called Tucuru, Brazil. Now, for as children, from a very young age, one of the first things we learned, because we sat ourselves in our kitchens with our parents, and our parents would give us something, they'd give us a fork, and what did we inevitably do? Drop it to the ground. From a very young age, children learn that when you have something in your hand, I have a straw in my hand this morning, when you have something in your hand, and if I let go of it, which way is it going to go? Down. It's going to go down. We learned that early on. That's the law of gravity. That's just the way the world works. Except in Tucuru, Brazil. You see, Tucuru, Brazil, something goes on that challenges our thoughts and about this idea of falling down when something is dropped or cut down. You see, in the mid-1980s, Tucuru, Brazil needed electricity for some of the towns and the cities around that area. So to create this energy, they built three dams to collect water, to generate some power for those cities in that area. However, when they built these three dams, all of a sudden, this whole area of wooded trees and animals, all of a sudden, this entire area was flooded. Acres upon acres upon acres of this area was flooded. So trees that once bloomed large in the sky, now all of a sudden were on the bottom of a lake. Well, in Tucuru, Brazil, one of the primary ways of making money, of having a living, was through construction. And so those trees on the bottom of the lake, that didn't help very much. They needed those trees. This is when Brazilian entrepreneur Juarez Cristiano Gomes stepped in. You know, where others saw flooded trees, trees on the bottom of the lake, he saw an opportunity. So Gomes went about to invent a power saw that can actually run under water. I want to see one of these things. I haven't been able to see one, but I want to see how this thing works. But the power saw literally can work underwater. So where lumberjacks would typically go to the forest and down trees, instead, he sent the lumberjacks 164 feet down in the bottom of this lake to cut the trees they needed for construction. Well, if you ask any lumberjack these days, one of the most important things they tell you is when you cut a tree down, you better know where it's going to fall, because you don't want it to fall on you. A couple weeks ago, we had some trees removed at the front of the church here, and we watched these lumberjacks, these tree men, work on this project and cut down precision-wise so the tree fell the exact right way. In Tucuru, Brazil, they didn't have to worry about that. You see, when they went to the bottom and they used that saw and they cut those trees, instead of the tree falling over, what did the tree do? It just floated up. Well, that just goes against the laws of the thing, because if I drop this, it falls. But in Tucuru, Brazil, when they cut trees down, they cut it and it goes up. Trees falling up. That just challenges the way our mind works. That challenges the way human law and gravity should work. However, Tucuru, Brazil is a place where the things function by a little bit different set of laws. As Christians today, this is also true as we seek to live a life of Christ, as we seek to live in the law of the kingdom of God. Because the laws of the kingdom of God are not the same as the laws of the world. When we are empowered by the love of Jesus, we can defy the laws of the world. Now, I am not saying you can violate the laws of the world. You might get arrested for some of those things. But what I'm saying today is this. When we live by the kingdom of God laws, all of a sudden things start to look different. Things that usually fall down all of a sudden go up. The world says, be served. Somebody needs to serve me, take care of me. But the kingdom of God's law says to serve others. The world says that fame and power are our goal. That's what we're striving for in the world. But the laws of the kingdom of God says seek the small things instead. The world says that, you're only supposed to call to love someone who is easy to love. Don't put too much effort into them. But the kingdom of God's law says we're called to love our enemies. You see, in the kingdom of God, what seems up goes down. Or maybe I should say, what seems down is up. To many in the world, this does not make sense. To many in the world today, they don't understand how the kingdom of God, the law, works. But when we walk with Christ, when we dedicate our lives to Jesus, He has set us apart. He has given us this new sense of law that we're supposed to function by. He has made us holy. He has sanctified us. Now, I'm going to come back to that word in a few minutes. Sanctify. Sanctification. What exactly is that word? That's a big churchy word that we like to throw around sometimes. But do we really understand what it means? Well, let's look at Scripture this morning to see what it means to be sanctified. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn to Exodus chapter 31. This morning, I'm going to read verses 12 through 18. But to set the scene for you this morning, at this point in Scripture, what we have is Moses on the top of Mount Sinai with God. He's there with God. He's been there with God for quite a long time. Actually, to the point, he's been up there so long that the people at the base of the mountain, the Israelites, thought he might have died. And so they were concerned. They didn't know what to do. So what do? We know that story. They collected all their gold items. They built a golden calf at the bottom of the mountain, and they started worshiping that God with a lowercase g. But Moses was okay. Moses was getting the law from God. moreover to this, he was not just getting the law from God. He was being a mediator between Yahweh, the God of on Mount Sinai, our God, Yahweh. He was being the mediator between God and the Israelites. So this brings us to this passage. This happens right before he goes down to the base of the mountain. Reading from Exodus 31, verses 12 through 18. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord, who," and I'm going to change the word there, Hebrew says, "who sanctifies you. Observe the Sabbath, because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Whoever does any work on this day must be cut off from the people. For 6 days, work is to be done. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from work and rested. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the testimony, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. And then Moses went down the mountain." What we see in this passage is a revealing another characteristic about God that sometimes I think we forget about. You see, God has set us apart. God has sanctified us to be holy through him. Now, as I said before, sanctification is one of those big, long, churchy words that we just like to go around. Oh yeah, sanctification, that's just what we need. That's what we are, sanctification. Most of the time, we don't even know what that word means. The fact is, that's one of those long, churchy words that has a very simple, very precise concept. In reality, sanctification literally means to be set apart, to be made holy. When the Lord told Moses that he has sanctified him and the people of Israel, he was simply saying to them that I have set you apart to be holy in this world. Let's put it in a different terms. In the Old Testament, when it was the time for a sacrifice, a lamb sacrifice to be exact, the individual that wanted to make the sacrifice would find a lamb without blemish, one that was perfect, and he would set it aside for that sacrifice, for the priest to perform that in the temple. Now, if you wanted lamb for dinner the night before, or the day before, or the day after, you didn't get that lamb and set it aside. You basically took that lamb down to the butcher shop in the village. They would butcher it for you, and you'd have it on your dinner table the night before. However, that lamb that has been set aside for sacrifice, they would set aside for days. They would make sure there was nothing wrong with it. They were making sure it was ideal God, and then they would bring it to the temple. You see, in the two circumstances, this lamb has been sanctified. It has been set apart. It has been made holy for a holy hour. However, the lamb over here was not sanctified. Sanctification is not just about items. It's not just about lambs. It also applies to the days on the calendar of the year. It also applies to locations as well. The Sabbath day, which is what God is doing here in this passage, was being set apart. It's being sanctified by God to be a day of rest, to be a set apart from the rest of the days of the weeks to worship him. Various feasts and festivals were set apart in the Israelite calendar as special days, days set aside for something special to encounter God on that day. Locations were also sanctified. If we think about it through our biblical history, the hill of Zion was sanctified. The temple was sanctified. Jerusalem was sanctified. The Holy of Holies place inside the temple was specially sanctified. So not just items, not just days, not just locations, but God also sanctifies people. And that brings us to the point of this passage today. You see, God throughout history has chosen people and has chosen individuals to be set apart for something special, to be made holy. Think about the history of the Old Testament: Jeremiah, Samuel, Isaiah, Gideon, Deborah, Samson. That's just to name a few. Those are individuals that were set apart, set aside for a special purpose in this world. This is what Yahweh did with the people of Israel. He chose them. He chose them. And in choosing them, he was setting them aside for a purpose. He chose a whole nation. But then he chose everyone. That's what we celebrated 3 weeks ago on Resurrection Sunday. That's what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. He didn't die just for you, just for me. He died for everyone. God chose us. We have been sanctified before him. And when he sanctifies us, when he sets us apart, he makes us holy, it comes with a purpose. It comes with a reason. As Christians today, the fact that we have been set apart, the fact that we have been sanctified by God, is a rallying cry for our approach to ministry in this world. When Yahweh said to Moses that he is the Lord who sanctifies the people of Israel, he was proclaiming a new name and a new characteristic that Moses and the people of Israel had never experienced before. Now, last week, I introduced to you the name Jehovah Jireh, which means God who provides. However, in this passage, he gives us a new name. He gives us a new Hebrew name that reveals that characteristic. The name is Jehovah Makadesh. Jehovah Makadesh literally means the God who sanctifies. When Moses was staring face to face with God, he was looking into the eyes of Jehovah Makadesh, because Moses could just as easily be killed on the spot. Seeing God was usually a death sentence back then. But instead, Moses was being set apart. Moses was being set aside for an important purpose, for a reason. He was made holy. As God's chosen and holy people in this world, as Christians who understand when Christ died for us, when we see that and we recognize that God has chosen us, he set us apart, we are made holy, we are proclaiming to Jehovah Makadesh, the same Jehovah as Jehovah Jireh, the same God as Yahweh, the same God as Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We have been set apart. We have been chosen. But back to this passage for a minute. God was using the Sabbath day, this seventh day, as a way for Moses and the Israelites to understand this idea of sanctification. At that time in history, when a person worked, he and that person did not work from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. 5 days a week like a lot of people do today. That's not the way it worked back then. Instead, for 7 days a week, when the sun came up and when the sun came down, you were working. And if you didn't get all your job work done by the time the sun went down, guess who was going to be working at nighttime? That was you. But that was the way the world functioned. That was the way the Israelites understood the world. That was the way everybody understood the world. But God said, no. No. Set aside one day. Set aside the Sabbath day. This is the Sabbath. Set aside that one day. else the Israelites encountered. We think that today is just happenstance, it's just normal. But back then, if people saw the Israelites not working on the Sabbath or whatever day that was, if they saw that, they said, wait a minute, something's not right. Something's different. Isn't that what God does for us? When he sets us apart, he sets us apart to be different. How many questions do you think were asked as the Israelites traveled to the promised land about them celebrating and observing the Sabbath? With those that they encountered on the way, with those they encountered when they entered the promised land themselves, how often do you think people said, why are you setting aside one day where you could be working to rest and to honor God? The world says that same thing today. The world says that about us today. But God wasn't telling the Israelites, and he's not telling us to separate ourselves, just to be separate from everybody and let them think their own thing. Instead, what God is telling us is to stand above, to stand separate, apart, so people can see and ask the question, why do you do that? Why do you do that? Why do you set aside a day when you could be working and making money to set aside a day to worship God? Why do you do that? That's what it means to be sanctified. That's what it means. That was God's intent from the very beginning. When he was telling Moses about the Sabbath, he was saying, I'm setting you up and the Israelites up to answer a lot of questions by your actions, by your words, and by your thoughts. He didn't say, I'm setting you different and you're going to be opposed to everything and be separate from anybody. Don't isolate yourself. He said, I want you to make a difference. I want people to see what it means to be chosen, to be set apart. And we know today, we can't be holy without him. There is no holiness without him. Jesus Christ is the answer to holiness, and through him, we can model it to the world. Just as simple as the definition for sanctification is, to set apart, to be made holy, if we follow God, he will make us holy. It's that simple. If we don't follow God, he won't. But if we do, he will. There is no one holy like our God. Apart from him, there is no holiness in the world. He has shown us the way. Now we need to go show others the way as well. As Moses stood on the top of Mount Sinai and he received the command about the Sabbath, about this set apart, this sanctified day, little did he realize that thousands of years later, that's us, thousands of years later, individuals would still gather on the Sabbath day to worship and celebrate him, to rest and to celebrate him. Do you think Moses was thinking about that on the top of Mount Sinai? No. He was wondering what was going on at the base of the mountain. But thousands of years later, we recognize what it means to sanctify this day, the Sabbath day. But it doesn't stop there, because we're not called just to be holy on Sunday. We're called to be holy on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday too. This is just the beginning of the Holiness Week. And when we do that, when we recognize that God has set us apart, that he has sanctified us, then we can have a difference and make a difference in the world. It changes the world. Because when we do that, we recognize that Jehovah Makadesh is making a difference in our lives. And he wants to make a difference in the lives of so many others. So for this reason, on this Sabbath morning and every other day of the week, we can celebrate and be excited because God has chosen us. God has set us apart, and God has a purpose as we go into the world. Let's pray. Father, as we recognize that you have set aside this day, this Sabbath day, to worship and celebrate you, Father, may we prepare ourselves to encounter you this day. Father, we give you thanks so many years ago, thousands of years ago, for meeting with Moses on Mount Sinai, and for giving him the law, and giving him the importance of this one day, and reminding us today that when Jesus Christ was sent, just as you chose Moses and the Israelites, when you sent Jesus Christ, you chose us as well. Father, it is a challenge, but it is a challenge that we're willing to accept and to take to make a difference in the world, for us to worship Jehovah Makadesh, the God who makes a difference, the God who sets us apart, the God who makes us holy, the God who sanctifies. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who chose us. Amen. As we come to our time of closing song this morning, maybe today, for the first time, you recognize that you were chosen. Maybe you've never felt that way before, but today you realize and recognize that God chose you. I'll be down front, or if you're watching online, send me a message this week. Let's talk about what it means to be chosen by God and how it changes our life forever. Or maybe you're looking for a body of believers that just seeks to honor God every Sabbath day and every day in between, where we seek to be holy because he has made us holy. First Baptist Elon, is the doors are always open. We're ready to embrace you and welcome you to enter the family. Or just today, maybe you realize that God set you apart, but maybe you're not making that difference in the world that he intends you to make. If that's where you are today, if you want to come down front to the altar, it's always open. Or if you want to just pray in your seat and remind and thank God for choosing you, but also recommitting your life to being holy in this world because of him. Whatever the decision is, don't wait till next Sabbath. Don't wait till next Sunday. Don't put it off. Make that decision today. Stand and let us sing our closing hymn this morning.
Change my heart, oh God.
roundtable meeting in just a few moments, but I know for some that may need to leave today already, we want to thank you for joining us for worship today. As we go into the world, may we share that holiness that God has made us because he chose us. We'll start our roundtable meeting.